This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and we're back today, and we're not going to do anything hypey. We're not going to talk about Gen AI at all. We're going to talk about AI.
I was going to say, hey, we're jumping on the hype train again.
No. That's Gen AI. Totally different.
Right.
We're doing the big picture thing here. This is the Roaring Elephant doing big picture. Can't even talk about it. stories only. We don't fall for hype. Hype falls for us.
Is that right? Okay. All right. So if that's the case, what's our big picture today, Jon?
The big picture is we found something on the internet. It's actually a report from the RAND organization, which I think I know who they are, and they're pretty big out there.
Mm.
And they actually did a report on the, if you're on YouTube, you can actually see what I'm talking about. If you're not, you have to listen to what I'm talking about, which actually works just as well. But it's talking about the root causes of failure for artificial intelligence projects, and importantly, how they can succeed. Now, they do a lot on the first, a little less on the second, I would say. But we kind of read this thing and thought it was worth talking about the topics in the little PDF there. Not a PDF, I'll put the URL in the show notes, of course, so you can
follow along. I do want to nitpick a little bit right at the very beginning here.
Big minutes, come
because,
on.
Because it talks about the root causes for failure of artificial intelligence projects, which suggests that they have failed. And then it says, and how they can succeed. Well, they can't succeed because they failed.
Yes, like they can. That's called V2. that's a total rewrite. This is totally inherent of the iterative approach of all AI projects. You write it, you make it, you build it, you finish
and
it.
And it fails.
You kill it, and you start over.
Yeah.
I do think that they mean how to succeed future other, or avoiding the failure in the first
place. See, that would be better. See, you should have written the title.
Yeah, but I don't get paid the megabucks that these, I'm assuming, PR business companies that have probably spent hours and liters of Starbucks coffee on figuring out what the ideal title for this thing is.
Yeah, well,
actually, like the subtitle more, to be honest, because that's simply avoiding the anti-patterns of AI. And that makes a lot more sense.
Well, we're not going to talk too much about the kind of all the methodology and that sort of thing behind this, but maybe just to give a little bit of round out the story a little bit. This is a little bit different to some of the ones that we've seen before, in that it seems to be primarily from the point of the practitioners. And so it's more of a kind of bottoms up view of what's happening, slightly more technically oriented. And they do admit that that could also introduce some bias into the responses. And we'll touch on this as we go through. That being said, and maybe this is just a reflection of me and who I am and the things I've done in my life and my career, but I think it comes across to me as a fairly well-balanced view of things.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, whether you're agreeing with the conclusions they draw, that's not a thing, but the way they got to the conclusions, I think, is way better than what I've seen so far, and that's mainly because of the inherent bias you just talked about, because typically all of these surveys, they're asking the CAO, CISOs, the higher-ups in there, and they have their own bias, and that bias is now so ingrained.
Yeah.
And to be fair, whenever something fails, somebody will search a scapegoat. They'll search a reason to say, it wasn't me, or not totally me, it was me, and blah, blah, other reasons. And coming from the top or the bottom, you will probably have different scapegoats. So putting this in the mix with all the rest of it kind of gives it a nice complete picture, I think. And I do like the fact that they completely do. That's why I put the URL for the PDF in the show notes. They do explain where it came from, how many people they approached, what reactions were, and things like that. So it's a pretty well-founded opinion piece, because it's still an opinion piece, obviously, by a group of people that are supposed to be more or less impartial, but you will never avoid that, obviously.
Yeah.
No, I I kind of liked it, and not totally because I agree with most of the points. So yeah, how do you want to do this?
Well, I think there's a few different sections in this doc, but you know, some of them were certainly more interesting to me than others. And like a lot of things, I prefer to get to the meat of like what are these kind of failure conditions or failure situations, and you know, what are these kind of dominant situations. So I would suggest let's kind of dive into this list and chat a bit kind of through it, because I think the other thing that stood out to me, and this is kind of probably going to be no surprise to anyone that's been in this sort of space for some time, is I don't really think there was anything like rocket science, magic, you know, super duper unheard of on this one. Like the reasonings are not that far away from things that we've talked about before with other projects, I think.
Cool. Okay, it's not so far from our common sense, perhaps, because we have been doing a podcast for 5 years, not, I'm saying 7 years, almost 8 years.
God, yep.
We're getting old. And we have been talking about this before. So we have already done some critical thinking about this. But the stuff in this document, the topics, I think are definitely not common sense, because otherwise people would make the errors. And it's mostly common sense from the other side of the fence. This is, I'm going to give you my conclusion at the first couple minutes of the topic. But a big part of failure of AI is simply the bubble people live in. And the thing that this report kind of does is illustrate what bubbles are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in the bubble, common sense doesn't break that barrier.
Yeah. I often refer to the term, and long-term listeners will remember me mentioning this multiple times, the reality distortion field that you often get when you're in a particular zone, in a particular mindset, in a particular place. You know, the reality, you distort the reality around you with your current kind of thinking and all the buzz and hype that's around you. But anyway,
without noticing it.
Yeah, that's it. And actually, it's the noticing it part that's the really important and actually the most difficult part of all of this. And yeah. I think let's kind of dive into some of these.
Now, before we do that, I just want to give my own point of view on this. Is true. AI projects do fail a lot. I've been in and around machine learning and data and AI and things like that for the last 15 years now, I think. Professionally, before that was more as a side thing in my own things I did. And I can pretty much count the number of successfully deployed, lived longer than 2 weeks AI projects on one, maybe two hands. I don't have to wash my feet because I won't need them for that. And it is a big problem because a lot of money, which isn't important, to be honest, but a lot of effort is being put into these things. And when they fail, a lot of good ideas and things that might work are discarded because we tried it, it didn't work, we're not going to try it again, we're not stupid, without thinking of the why they failed. They just, we did this, threw all the money on it, and you've had so much money and it's been so much time and it's still not there, cancel the whole thing, we're not going to do this anymore, we're going to buy Project X, whatever, and so on.
Yeah.
So this is actually a problem that's hugely under-recognized, because a lot of companies do think they do or try to do AI in all fashions. And contrary to what I said at the beginning of the episode, this also includes Gen AI kind of projects. This is AI in general, everything that has to do with computers doing things that seem intelligent, let's call it that. And it's just such a sad state of affair where a lot of smart people are burning a lot of energy with very little results or even negative results. And again, from personal experience, I can attest that this is definitely the case.
I mean, I agree, That's but I also think but. That it's perpetuated by the lack of transparency on that, on the fact that so many of these things fail. Like, there aren't a lot of people that are, generally speaking, willing to stand up and say, hey, we spent a lot of money and time and effort on this thing, and it failed for these reasons. Like, it's just, it's unheard of for lots of reasons, like company and brand and individual people's career suicide. Like, admitting failure publicly is very, very difficult for a whole host of kind of social, kind of political kind of reasons. And the problem with that is if you can't share the mistakes and the failures and the disasters that happen, then people don't know those things, and people just make the same mistakes again and again. Like, other people make the same mistakes because they don't know that this thing won't work or this thing won't be successful, or they'll burn a load of money for no reasons, because not enough people are talking about the failures and the challenges. And I mean, we often kind of lament some of the glory days of some of the conferences that we both went to. And the things that I enjoyed the most about all of those conferences were the real discussions of people talking about their journey, and we're great, we did all this awesome stuff, but here's a bunch of things that we tried that really didn't work, and here's why they didn't work, and here's how we got around them. Like, the real, anything that had, you know, something like the phrase lessons learned or something like that in it, for me was always such a gold mine. And I feel, just from kind of looking at conferences nowadays, there's a lot less of that sort of honest journey perspective in reflected in a lot more of today's conference talks.
Yeah, it's the main reason I don't go to conferences anymore. I mean, by coincidence, we talked about this with a colleague a couple of days ago, and I remember that the last conference I've attended was KubeCon 2.5 years ago. And I wasn't impressed. I mean, again, Kubernetes, all stuff, great software. And I'm talking about this conference itself and the value it gives. It's all marketing. And it's gotten way worse in the last decade. Because when you talk about admitting the failures, you're actually talking about admitting it publicly, going on a blog, on a website, on a conference podium, and talking about, we did this, it's great, but before that, we had that and that and that and that and that, and that all go wrong until we learned. That's the kind of the journey you want. I think it's worse even than that, because in current corporate culture, I think that's the right word, even internally, failure cannot be admitted anymore. And this is something that has come over from the US, I think, because that's kind of the US culture that, I mean, definitely in technology, the US culture is pervasive. Yeah. All of the new things come from the US, and this comes along with it. But what I'm old, so I've been around for a while. And what I've seen more and more and more over the, and you can look on my LinkedIn to see which companies I worked from, it just gets worse and worse and worse, that when an engineer has a side project, he built something cute, that's cool, manager sees this, oh, we have to make this a product, it becomes a product. Nobody ever thought about putting a business plan or anything like that. At some point it fails, but nobody is allowed to say it fails. So even internally, it doesn't get talked about. And as a solution architect, one of the things that I need is knowing why product ABC works in the way it works, what the use cases are, who I can recommend it to, how I can help people. For me, for my job, for my everyday paycheck, this is the stuff I need to know, because surprise people, I'm going to tell you a secret here. No software is perfect. They all have use cases they're good at, use cases they're not so good at. They all have their good and their bad things. And being aware of that is how you can make a project successful, how you can make it work. Knowing what the good and the bad is, both sides, is important for my job. And over the last 10, 15 years I've been doing this job, it has gotten harder and harder, up to the point of impossible, to get that information. Up to the point that today, what I typically do is try and break it myself, which is very time consuming and a one person myopic reality distortion bubble as well. Mm. And that's something that I think is corporate culture at the moment, because even if I talk to my to customers, to friends, to relations, to other people that are also doing high techy stuff, that same thing always comes up. They have this great idea, it's building, and then silence. It just disappeared. Mm. Nothing happened. Nothing to see here.
I don't think I would classify it as I don't think I would classify it as something that's so much American culture as mm-hmm. I think this is more a reflection of how high the stakes have gotten in the technology world nowadays. And what I mean by that is over the last let's say like 5 years, we've seen huge swathes of people laid off. We've seen huge kind of ranges of kind of organizations downsizing and or right sizing or whatever you want to call it. We've seen in a lot of cases the kind of the technology bubble not necessarily burst, but certainly deflate a decent amount. And I think it's when everything is, on a rocket ship, everything's going up and up and up and up. I feel that there's more, like people feel that they can be a little bit more honest, a little bit more transparent because, hey, this didn't work, but doesn't matter. Like we'll do the next thing next time. It'll be even better. Whereas when things are steady state or even worse, things are kind of under more pressure, I think that transparency and publicly admitting failures and things like that, I think that goes out the window and people are too afraid to admit concerns. I think it's a global phenomenon. I don't think it's culturally something that's come from one place or another.
Well, I think also, so we're both smart cookies here, and I actually disagree.
Hmm.
For me, when times are good and money can be burned, failure, who cares? We tried it, it was fun, let's try something else, and there's a lot less scrutiny. When times are hard, and if you want to get a budget, you need to really prove and do your homework, there's a lot more scrutiny. So if we are in a downturn today, which I am not 100% agreeing with either, it's definitely not a boom,
but
most of the layoffs, as unfortunate as they are, it's always unfortunate, are due, in my opinion, to overestimating potential growth during the year after pandemic, when more and more, again, it was a boom time, so nobody looked at anything, whatever, just do whatever you want. Now people are, I think, and it's a good thing, have to work for their money internally, externally, to get a grant proposal, or whatever agreed upon. So when it then goes bad, I kind of prefer these times versus the boom times, because now when I go to a customer and they have a project, there are actually failure criteria available that you can actually check off a lot.
Yeah.
While in the boom time, it's just like, we're going to do this. Okay. And when is it going to be successful? Oh, we don't care. We just want to do it because it's going to be fun on the website. Things like that. So I think actually with the downturn, people are more self-reflecting afterwards a little bit. But as I mentioned earlier, and again, maybe the US culture is, I've been working for many US companies lately, so that, again, reality distortion bubble, it's a real thing. Be aware of it. But even now in the downturn, when people should be more critical, when they talk about AI for some reason, the moment there's artificial AI in the room, human eye goes out of the window, it seems. It's like you can have blood in one part of your body as a man, but not in both.
So I think I think we're potentially in violent agreement on all of the first thing. We're just I totally violently disagree with your agreement.
But,
but I think the reason why there's so much of that that kind of over a natural like positivity about AI will save everything is because of that. It's because it's the latest thing that will kind of revolutionize things, will kind of change everything for the better. Well, depending on
blockchain,
depending on your particular view on it, but it's just the latest of a long line of panaceas that will, you know, solve everything. And it's also a technology that is still at its earliest stages, where we haven't yet figured out really, I don't think, what are the limits of what it can do. And so you've
but
got
it's more
this
of not
like
knowing the limits of what it can't do, in my opinion.
That as well. But like it's almost that we've got this situation where you've got like almost boundless optimism for it. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, what kind of terrible situation we're in, just, you know, throw a whole bunch of money, effort, time and generative AI at things, or AI at things, and it'll fix it all for us. And you and I have been around in a variety of different industries for quite some time. I think long enough to have seen this story being told with other things in the past. And, you know, I think that the same will come true. Like, we will figure out, to your point, Jon, the boundaries of what actually can't do, or at least can't do yet, and the realms of what it can do. And that will be the true boom time, because that will be the point where we are able to really utilize AI, especially generative AI, in a whole bunch of areas, because we've kind of figured out the magic recipe almost. And there'll still be, you know, there'll still be growth, there'll still be development, there'll still be enhancements, there'll still be, you know, additional things that we'll figure out along the way. But we're at this really early, totally unrealistic, stars and hearts in our eyes, you know, or I say we, I think the industry, quote unquote, is at that stage right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're definitely at the beginning, and the hype train isn't stopping anytime soon. Anecdotally, I had an internal meeting last week, I think, with a colleague who is selling this stuff, so we're supposed to at least kind of know what it is. And he literally said, I'm trying to make sure I repeat his words exactly, Gen AI will only get better because the quantum will make it so much easier.
Well, on that note,
and since quantum mechanics and computing is kind of a hobby of mine, that was cringe. Anyway, I know this person does listen to the podcast, so I think I'm pretty safe.
Yeah.
But I mean, when people say things like the quantum, they also talk about the AI like it's something you can pluck from a tree and eat or something. I don't know. And the sad thing is, and once you get to that point, I think, where it does become understood, it has become commonplace, and nobody will talk about it anymore, because the new hotness will be, I was going to say destroying the world again, but you can destroy the world in one time, so apparently you haven't done it yet. Again, because you said you can't succeed something that failed already, I have to be careful with my wording here, so let's just say that learning from the past is something we haven't learned from the past yet, I think.
Well, one thing we have learned from the past is that's all the time we have for today. You can support this podcast by becoming a Patreon. Maybe I can get some elocution lessons. Who knows? Every contribution really does help. We are on YouTube. You can like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, comment, and do all the YouTube things. You can also go to roaringelephant.org for a link to our Patreon page and for more information about the podcast. And please send any or all feedback you have to podcast@roaringelephant.org. Until next time, my name is The Quantum Dave.
And my name is, I'm sure, The Quantum Enforced with GenAI will solve your little language problem there. You'll...
We look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, the more words you use, the more important you are, right? See you next week. Bye.
Goodbye.